Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is reportedly reassessing his presidential campaign after being swept in three primaries this week. He now trails former Vice President Joe Biden in delegates 1,091 to 778. You need 1,991 to win the nomination. The Sanders campaign is no longer actively advertising on Facebook as of earlier today. His campaign manager also emailed supporters without asking for donations, but he's not suspending his bid for president despite calls by some Democrats to do so. After a disappointing performance on Super Tuesday earlier this month, Sanders held a news conference telling his party that they can't afford to write off his supporters.
Today, I say to the Democratic establishment, in order to win in the future, you need to win the voters who represent the future of our country, and you must speak to the issues of concern to them. You cannot simply be satisfied by winning the votes of people who are older.
As the nomination contest continues, our guest has a message for the Democratic Party: stop playing it safe or risk losing to President Trump again. Mike McCabe is a government reform advocate and the executive director of Our Wisconsin Revolution. Mike, good to have you back with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Rob. Good to be with you.
You wrote a piece, Mike, right after Super Tuesday. You called Democrats, quote, a scared party, an apologetic party, a play it safe party, end quote. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I think there are an awful lot of people who are, you know, having that feeling of deja vu. I don't think I'm alone in that. And it does kind of feel like we're stuck in the movie Groundhog Day, where the same day is replaying over and over again. And, you know, we've had five elections so far in the 21st century. And in three of them, Democrats nominated an establishment candidate, long time, elected officials or long time government establishment types. And in those three elections, they lost. And then in one election in 2008, it was an insurgent candidate, one who was not the presumptive nominee, who broke through and got the nomination. And it was a black man with a name that sounded like a cross between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. And I can't tell you how many people I heard back then say, you know, America wasn't ready to elect a black man, and certainly not one with a name like Barack Obama. And yet he won, and then he got reelected again in 2012. And so when the Democrats have gone the establishment route, they have lost so far in the 21st century. And nobody thought that Donald Trump was electable in 2016. Republicans said there was no chance that he would get their party's nomination. And then you heard Democrats saying that he was the dream opponent of Hillary Clinton. And yet, look who wound up in the White House. And there are mammoth problems facing our country. Even as we practice all kinds of take all kinds of precautions for the sake of public health as we deal with this pandemic, once we get through this, there are going to be these huge problems facing this country: economic inequality, health insecurity, crushing student debt, environmental insanity, climate crisis that need to be dealt with. And Americans sense that we need some drastic changes. And when the political system doesn't offer any hope of those drastic changes being made to deal with these mammoth problems, you had a lot of people in 2016 who were ready to throw a Molotov cocktail at the political establishment. And Donald Trump was a very big Molotov cocktail. And, you know, our country is going through these huge problems. We're really going through three revolutions at once: an economic revolution driven by globalization and automation that has put an awful lot of people who used to have good factory jobs with health insurance and pensions and family supporting wages out of work. They watched their jobs exported overseas or automated out of existence as the robots took over. We're going through a social revolution where the historically dominant group in America is fast becoming a minority. We're going through an ecological revolution that threatens life on this planet. And Donald Trump has answers for all of those those revolutions. You know, when for the economic revolution, he's just said, let's slap tariffs on all the foreign products, and that'll bring back all the manufacturing jobs. For the social revolution, he says, let's build a wall spanning the entire southern border and make Mexico pay for it. With the ecological revolution, he says that climate change is a hoax. We don't have to worry about it. We can continue to pollute without harm. And it doesn't matter if those answers are bad answers. Those answers are disastrous answers for our country. But in the absence of alternative answers, in the absence of drastic changes being recommended by the opposition, people will grab onto that. And they did in 2016. And if the Democratic Party doesn't offer serious solutions and drastic change for some of these mammoth challenges that we face, there's a path to re-election for Donald Trump. And
a response
and I think that
to
would
that,
be disastrous for our country.
A response to that often, Mike, is if we have that person who offers these drastic solutions from the left, more or less, you're going to scare off a lot of voters, maybe even traditional Democratic voters who then either vote for Donald Trump or stay home. That's, I think, the electability argument in a nutshell.
Well, you know, and the electability argument is based on assumptions that are no longer valid. There's been this long time assumption for decades that electability is found in the center, that you've got to compete for all of these voters in the middle who are between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Well, you know, I don't think I'm alone. And I've gone out there and traveled over 100,000 miles in the course of just 11 months and talked to more Trump voters than I can imagine. And I've knocked on an awful lot of doors and talked to an awful lot of voters. I can't find that center anymore. That middle is gone. Independents are just as polarized as the rest of the electorate. They, you know, some of them are on the left, some of them are on the right. They don't like either major party. That's what really defines them as independents. That idea that to be electable, you've got to be in the center and you've got to be able to compete for the middle. When politics becomes as polarized as it is today, the center vanishes. And the middle's not there anymore. There aren't any voters in the middle anymore. What people, and I think that's how Donald Trump got elected. He didn't run in the center. He ran as a real extremist, and he ended up in the White House. And I think the electability argument that so many Democrats are leaning on, I think unfortunately for them is an argument that's based on assumptions that are outdated and no longer valid. And that's the concern, is that if you pursue a course based on this idea of electability, but the idea of electability is based on assumptions that are now invalid, that is the kind of thing that gave Donald Trump a path to the White House in 2016, and it gives him a path to re-election in 2020 if that kind of argument continues to prevail.
Talking to Mike McCabe from the group Our Wisconsin Revolution, he says Democrats need to be bolder, have a stronger, more liberal or progressive agenda. I want to give a listen to both candidates at their most recent debate. Joe Biden, first of all, and then Bernie Sanders both talk about Medicare for all in the midst of the COVID-19 outbreak. Here's a listen to former Vice President Biden.
With all due respect to Medicare for all, you have a single-payer system in Italy. It doesn't work there. It has nothing to do with Medicare for all. That would not solve the problem at all. We can take care of that right now by making sure that no one has to pay for treatment, period, because of the crisis. No one has to pay for whatever drugs are needed, period, because of the crisis. No one has to pay for hospitalization because of the crisis, period. That is a national emergency, and that's how it's handled. It is not working in Italy right now, and they have a single-payer system. Well,
and then listen to Senator Sanders on the same issue.
In terms of Medicare for all, despite what the vice president is saying, what the experts tell us is that one of the reasons that we are unprepared and have been unprepared is we don't have a system. We got thousands of private insurance plans. That is not a system that is prepared to provide health care to all people. In a good year, without the epidemic, we're losing up to 60,000 people who die every year because they don't get to a doctor on time. And clearly this crisis is only making a bad situation worse.
So, Mike, a more timely spin on a key issue of division, I think, for Democrats, how ambitious to be, how big a change they want to see in the healthcare system. What's your read on that and how it fits into what you're talking about?
It's changing every day, Rob. You know, there's now talk that unemployment might spike to as much as 20% across this country. We have a health insurance system that is hitched to employment. As people lose their employment, they lose their health insurance. They lose their ability to go to the doctor. And then on top of that, we have a system in this country where not only are there many who are uninsured, but there are many more who have insurance but can't use the insurance because the deductibles and copays are so high that the out-of-pocket expense is so great that they can't afford to actually use the insurance they have. And there are so many Americans, millions and millions of Americans, who have health insurance, but it's basically useless to them. Because the only way that it will ever be used is if they became so sick and required such prolonged hospitalization that eventually the deductibles would be covered and their insurance would kick in. But when we have a situation like the one we're in right now, if unemployment spikes to 10 or 15 or 20%, there will be so many Americans who will lose health insurance because health insurance is tethered to employment in this country. That it puts our country in an incredibly vulnerable position. And I think more and more people will become aware that, my goodness, this is no way to provide health security in one of the world's wealthiest countries.
We're talking about the state of the Democratic Party with Mike McCabe, Executive Director of Our Wisconsin Revolution. You can join us at 800-642-1234. What do you think Democrats need to do to win in 2020? Do you agree with our guests that they play it too safe and need to embrace full-blown liberal progressive policies? Or do you think a more moderate approach, a more moderate candidate is the way to go? If you're looking at this from outside the Democratic Party, love to hear from you and your thoughts as well. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now we're talking with Mike McCabe, government reform advocate and executive director of Our Wisconsin Revolution. He wrote a piece after Super Tuesday saying today's Democrats are an apologetic party and a play-it-safe party. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a Democrat, do you want a more moderate candidate or somebody further to the side of liberal, progressive politics, big, ambitious changes, or stay the course or restore the course? If you're a supporter of President Trump, which candidate would you rather win the Democratic nomination? Call 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. John is with us in Elkhorn. John, hi.
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm going to probably just stick to a couple of topics. One, Mr. McCabe, I really appreciate what you're saying because I probably find myself in that ballpark of being a more liberal and progressive individual. But Donald Trump is a very unique individual. And my support for Joe Biden isn't necessarily because I'm overwhelmed with Joe Biden, but I just don't see how a candidate like Bernie Sanders would ever be able to win. And if this was another time and place, I would probably be willing to go down that road with him. But you know what? I don't see it. You know what? And Barack Obama was actually probably a little bit more centrist, other than his name, than we probably give him credit for. And he was very pragmatic.
John, thanks a lot for the call. Mike, a lot of primary voters appear to have agreed with John over the last few weeks in primary voting.
Indeed, and I guess what I would say is that is a great illustration of what distinguishes today's Republican Party from today's Democratic Party, is that, you know, Democratic voters are sort of compromising with themselves. They're saying that what they believe in, what they want, the kind of change that they're looking for, they don't think is possible. Whereas the Republicans just just seem hell bent on imposing their will and getting their way no matter what. And they're not ashamed of their governing philosophy. They don't hesitate to just impose their will on the country. And you know, I go back to the last time that we had unemployment as high as some think that it may reach in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. And that takes you all the way back to the time of the Great Depression, and unemployment went up to 25%. And of course, America had a four-term president who was constantly called a socialist, and whose policies, the policies that he ushered in, were every bit as socialist as anything that Bernie Sanders is suggesting today, and perhaps even more so. And yet, he was elected four times in this country, the only person ever to be elected president of the United States four times, and that, of course, was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And you know, Roosevelt famously gave a speech, his second inaugural address, where he said that the forces of organized money were united in their hatred of him, and he welcomed their hatred. That sounds an awful lot like the kind of message that Bernie Sanders is spreading across the country today. And Franklin Roosevelt wasn't afraid of the opposition from the country's aristocracy. He took it on and said, "Look, regular working people are suffering, and we're going to look out for them. We're going to make major changes in this country." And of course, and that happened with the New Deal. And in more recent years, it seems as though the Democratic Party has lost faith in its own governing philosophy. And, you know, I talk to so many voters who say, yes, the ideas, Medicare for all and a Green New Deal and dealing with this crushing student debt for young people, these are all things that we need to do. But then in the next breath, they say, but you know, it could never pass, or we could never afford it.
I'm going to jump in, Mike, because I want to bring in another caller or two before we run out of time. We'll go to Susan in West Dallas. Susan, hi.
Hi. I do hope that Bernie Sanders does not drop out. I think in the past, Joe Biden has made some bad decisions, and I remember watching the Anita Hill proceedings, and he didn't help in any way to, we ended up with Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court, also his support for the war in Iraq and many other things. Plus, they thought they had the perfect candidate for in 2016 with Hillary Clinton. And they were wrong because she just did not have the charisma. And I think you really need somebody with charisma.
Susan, thanks for the call. Micah, what do you think?
Well, I think one of the things that is going to be required to beat Donald Trump is excitement and enthusiasm and a belief, more than anything else, a belief that the major challenges facing this country are being addressed. And for people who feel like, you know what, the system is rigged against us and nobody seems to be addressing the problems that we're facing, somebody who, you know, used to make $25 or $30 an hour on a factory floor, who watched their job exported overseas or automated out of existence, and they don't feel like anybody cares about that or anybody's doing anything about it. You know, Trump offered an answer. He said, "I'm going to slap tariffs on all these foreign products, and I'm going to bring all these manufacturing jobs back." And of course, it hasn't happened. But people were hungry for an answer, and he provided them an answer. And he said, "I'll build a wall across the southern border, and Mexico will pay for it." And of course, that's not happening either. But people were hungry for an answer. They want somebody who it gives them confidence that they understand the mammoth challenges facing this country, and they're willing to take dramatic action to deal with those challenges. And if that doesn't come from the Democratic Party, that's what got Donald Trump elected in the first place in 2016. And it does offer him a path to reelection in 2020, despite all that's happened.
In just our last minute or so, Mike, our last caller said she hopes that Senator Sanders stays in the race. Do you think that Senator Sanders' presence, ongoing presence in the race, might change where Democrats and a possible candidate, Joe Biden, where their policies would end up?
Absolutely. When you look at the 2016 election, before 2016, nobody was talking about Medicare for All. Nobody was talking about a Green New Deal. Nobody was talking about dealing with the student debt crisis. And he brought a message into that race that in 2020, all the candidates had to talk about Medicare for All. And many of them actually embraced it. And so there's already been a great deal of change because that ambitious message was put out there before the American people, and so many people responded to it favorably. I think that same effect is going to continue in 2020 and beyond. It's incredibly important for as many voices as possible in this country to be talking about the huge challenges, the three revolutions that this country is going through all at once, and then how we deal with those revolutions, both economic, social, and ecological, and how we get ourselves out of these messes.
Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Rob.
We've been talking to Mike McCabe, government reform advocate and executive director of the group Our Wisconsin Revolution. We talked to him about his call for Democrats to stop being what he calls a play-it-safe party and to stand firm on a liberal platform. He wrote a piece about that just after Super Tuesday. By the way, circumstances around the novel coronavirus are changing all the time. It can be tough to feel like you have the most up-to-date and accurate info. Wisconsin Public Radio wants to make sure you have the information you need and that you're getting answers to your questions. You can share your questions about COVID-19, the virus prevention, preparation, what concerns you have that you need answers to. These questions will help inform our coverage. We'll do our best to answer them. Go to WPR.org to submit your questions and your concerns about COVID-19. You can do that at WPR.org. And in just a few minutes after the news, we'll talk to a doctor who's going to answer some of the questions you've posed to us, either through the website, through our social media, and elsewhere. That's coming up in just a few.